Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV studios and our brand new show, Game of Thrones Off-Season, where we will be meeting every month to discuss the hottest news and topics in the Game of Thrones world. This episode, we're talking sex, love, and relationships. Coming right up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. Yes, the chorus. The chorus is back. Welcome, everybody, to Game of Thrones off-season. So what are we all about? Just like how your favorite sports are never on the air all year long, neither are our favorite shows. And our favorite show is Game of Thrones. And trust us, there's plenty of talk about. So we're meeting here every month to discuss what we love, which is Game of Thrones. And I'm Ryan Malady. I'll be your host. And joining me, as always, is a wonderful panel. To my left, Mr. Dave Child.
Hi, I'm Dave Child. You can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com because I'm Dave Child. We're going to talk how they're training up for the new season, how they're going to... I don't know. We're talking about the show we like. We never stop watching it.
What are you drinking over there?
What's that? This is water. I'm enjoying water.
And the perpetually lovely Kristen Elizabeth Snyder.
Hey, guys. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape. I am drinking Pedialyte in water because if you didn't know, your body can't absorb water without electrolytes, and Pedialyte, I use the powder, so there's no sugar. It's a nice way to stay hydrated, and it's really good for your body.
This is what you're going to learn the more you know.
I mean, if you're going to talk about sex and relationships, you better be hydrated.
You got to be hydrated. How you doing over there, Mr. Matt Maher?
Hello. Thank y'all for having me. Yeah. I'm Matt Maher. I normally do the Arrow show and CW Weekly, and just whatever they want me to do.
We were on Preacher together.
Oh, sorry, I'm taking that. Preacher's good. Dominic Cooper's really hot. Okay, you can find me at TheMattMar, two T's, two R's.
Two T's, that's beautiful. Thank you for joining us
for this special episode of the month.
We're in February. February is the month of love, or lack thereof, for some people.
Don't you dare.
I know. But first, before we get into our main topic, let's talk some news because, I mean, Game of Thrones is off the air, but there's plenty going on in the world and the universe of it. And to sort of start off for our news segment, I want to talk a little bit about how Lucasfilm had just announced recently that the showrunners, you know, writers and producers of Game of Thrones, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, are slated to start their own series of Star Wars movies. Can you believe that? They're going to be writing and producing alongside director Rian Johnson, who did the most recent films.
Awesome director.
And as always, Kathleen Kennedy will have the final say of everything as president of Lucasfilm. But I'm really stoked because these guys, what they did with Game of Thrones, I'd love to see them translate that into the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and, you know, I mean, I might be slaughtered online by all my fellow geeks and nerds out there, but to be honest, the recent renditions of the Star Wars movies have kind of left me yearning for more. It just kind of seems like kind of the same stories rehashed. I mean, I know he doesn't agree with me, but rather, hey, Rogue One was legit. I'm just saying.
I disagree with everything.
Hey, that's fine. I'm just saying.
I enjoyed them too.
What Game of Thrones did.
I
think the great thing that we love about the Game of Thrones series is that they kind of blur the line between right and wrong. There's always a gray area. You know, you start to see things from other people's perspectives, and then you start to root for them. And the thing that Star Wars has always brought us is a very clear, definitive right and wrong, light and dark, you know. And to have these guys come in and kind of breathe a breath of fresh air into the season, I think it's going to be really cool. What do you guys think is going to happen?
Yeah, it's kind of like the new movie also brought in a gray area. Which is why I liked it
so much. How many shades of gray?
It was darker and freed. I don't know. But it was... it was like... It did bring in that feeling of... You saw more of the gray. You saw like these questions of when someone is toxic. Maybe cut them out of your life. Not everyone's redeemable. All those themes were in the new one. So I'm glad that they're coming in and doing it. Also, what remember when Luke and Leia kissed in the original movie?
Oh yeah, that's okay. True.
So right. Who are you gonna bring in when you want more kissing brothers and sisters?
Incest producers.
Okay.
Incest twins.
Activate.
There's definitely a huge. It's not even a. It's not even like a. It's like its own topic today is incest. Right. So
it
we
is
will.
Its own, I do feel
we'll definitely. We'll get
I really, though, do feel like, because one of my really good friends, he loves Star Wars more than anything, except for maybe a tie with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And then, like, right under that's like Lord of Things. Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Things.
Lord of the Things.
I'm Lord of the... I like that better.
That's like a really gay guy. He's like, I'm Lord of the Things. Anyway, I do feel like so many straight nerds, like, just, they were like... And I'm surprised there wasn't like riots in comic stores, like, but like happy, like people just going and throwing things. Cause I think it is a perfect marriage.
Yeah.
I think I'm excited about it. I'm worried that they're going to kill off too many people that I love in Star Wars. Cause they kind of give no shits about killing people.
Well, they don't kill people off. In fact,
that's with not
exception,
them,
with exception of Rogue One. Right, I don't know how to spoil it, you know, the whole movie, but like, I mean, in this newest movie, they didn't even kill off the characters who died in real life. Like, the actors who are dead are still alive in the movie.
It's true.
So it's like, yeah.
Well, it's also going to be a whole nother universe, right? It's kind of like the Rian Johnson's about to make a new trilogy of films.
The Solo?
And not Solo. It's just totally, not Solo, has nothing to do with previous Skywalker.
It's like its own world.
Lore. It's its own... own like story that exists in the Star Wars universe.
And that's what these are that they're doing. They're
the three films that are coming out. And so I don't know what the Star Wars show is going to be like. I assume it's going to be a lot like that Rian Johnson's universe that's about to come, where it's a whole new storyline and where it's not like Clone Wars or Rebels or
I don't know if it's a
like
series.
That.
I think it's a series of films.
I think it's
they're a part of they're doing the films.
They're doing the Rian what you were talking about is what GOT guys are doing.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah,
so,
it's,
a series of films.
It's not going to be related to any. If it's the Rian Johnson ones, then it's not related to any of the characters.
Which made me excited.
Although they have been bringing in some of the Game of Thrones actors, most notably Gwendolyn Christie. And Emilia Clarke actually is coming for her new Star Wars in Solo. So, Maisie Williams and some of the other cast are like waiting, hoping, standing by their phones, I guess.
Right.
I
heard, yeah, because they're not going to have stuff to do. Yeah. Well, they will, some of them. Will.
Hey.
They'll be fine.
Who do you think would play Anakin Whitewalker?
Anakin Whitewalker?
That's good. Well done.
And with that,
so that little like,
yeah, thank you.
I mean, I do know that there's such a Star Wars world that a lot of people don't even know about with the animated clone, with all the Clone Wars, everything.
Right.
So
and Rebels,
I'm imagining they might pick up some of that. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see how much canon they actually add to the universe and how much they actually play off of the old, films. I'm excited to see. We'll stay in touch with this story as it develops month to month. In the meantime, Dave, what do you got for us?
Yes, before we move on, I just also want to hope that this means they're not doing the Confederate show or they're putting that
okay,
more on
I was going to ask, are they not doing the Confederate show?
I'm curious about that.
Well, that just kind of died away.
That kind of like, after it got the uproar of people's reaction to it, it kind of went on the shelf and we haven't really heard about it. So I'm curious to see what happens with that. Okay, so my news is, it's book news, but do not get excited. Do not, everyone calm down.
I'm already
down.
Excited.
It's book news.
Book news.
All that this means, so originally George R. R. Martin was going to come out with this one series that's based off the history of the Targaryen family called Fire and Blood. And originally it's going to come out after the next two books that we're all still waiting for, Winds of Winter and A Song of Spring. And as soon as those came out, Fire and Blood was supposed to come out. He has said he's not doing that. He's actually splitting up Fire and Blood into two volumes.
Oh, no.
And the first volume is coming out the beginning of next year. So it'll be coming out before Winds of Winter. He said this on his blog in a comment section where he's talking to all his fans and stuff. And it's... So before Winds of Winter will be Fire and Blood Volume 1 about the Targaryen family. Up to, like, this point, and I think there's stuff about the future of the Targaryen family that'll be in Volume 2 that'll come out after the rest of the books come out. So that's just a little update about the books. You still waiting?
Still waiting.
Also, by the way,
Jesus,
I recently saw.
He gives no fucks anymore. Sorry.
I recently saw the Logan Lucky. Did you guys see Logan Lucky?
I did see Logan Lucky.
It has the best Winds of Winter joke. I think that really surprised me in the middle of Logan Lucky. They start talking about Winds of Winter in a great joke I don't want to ruin. So watch Logan Lucky if you need to. If you need a good George R. R. Martin book
it's
joke.
Good. Is that Aaron Sorkin? No, it's
Steven Soderbergh.
Steven Soderbergh is good. Yeah.
But it's good. But anyways, news about that should be coming out early 2019. So actually probably before the new series starts, because the series is going to come back in April 2019.
Mm-hmm. We got quite a bit.
Quite a long time to wait. But before that, you can get Fire and Blood Volume 1, which will include some stories that he's already released in certain, just short stories that have popped up in random books and anthologies. Cool. So he's kind of combining them, so it's all about the Targaryens, though.
There you go. When you're done listening to this podcast, go ahead and open up Song of Fire and Ice to get it started. Maybe by the time you're done, you can start reading about
Fire and Blood.
Fire and Blood by next year. Kristen, what do you got for us?
So Maisie Williams was on Jimmy Kimmel Live promoting her new film, Early Man. And he started talking to her about Game of Thrones and asking her, shouldn't she be tracking down Cersei Lannister? And she basically started talking about filming and how they called her and told her she had to come back to set early. And he asked her how much filming she had left. And she said, endless amounts. It's a mammoth task this year. It's going to be huge. So Jimmy then said, based on what she had said, so then you're in a lot of episodes. And she said, no, not necessarily.
Okay.
So the rumor on the internet this week is that Arya Stark may die in the final season of Game of Thrones. What do you guys think about this?
I don't like it.
Interesting. Well, she's one of the few characters who can exist without actually needing Maisie Williams. Arya Stark has the ability to change faces. So, who knows? She might be gone or she might die, but maybe not really. I would imagine that, since she can be a character who can change faces, maybe the actress herself wasn't necessary. But I don't know. Maybe they kill her off. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them.
She
has it coming.
I'm really hoping that she kills Cersei with Jaime's face. But that means Jaime has to die, right? But Jaime has always been on the wrong side of the road following Cersei. So
he's
I feel
on the
like
block. Come on.
His days are numbered. Yeah. I want her to take his face. I want Cersei not to know. And wouldn't that be amazing to just like Arya to get her revenge, but then also for Cersei to think that her brother, her like lover, killed her.
That would be poetic.
Well, it's part of the prophecy too.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. Yeah, and it's also I feel like if Arya dies, she's going to die towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be one of the in the final episode things.
I could see her like saving Sansa. That would be kind of a very bookmark about their relationship, because I like that we're kind of coming back to that hopefully more in this season, and we got good closure on that.
Yeah,
last season. That's all I'm going to say. If you haven't watched, but come on,
You should be. If you're watching the Game of Thrones off season, I hope you caught up on all the seasons.
Somebody in Gary in Idaho was like, "This show looks good. I'll watch it before Game of Thrones."
Oh no, they're ruining everything.
Dead Child's a horrible person. Tweet.
Yeah. Yeah, we shouldn't have to give spoiler alerts on that Game of Thrones after show.
But I could see her dying for her sister.
Yeah.
The sacrifice play kind of a thing for Arya.
Jaime, I could also see kind of dying as a hero, because he's kind of a redeemable hero.
Definitely.
In the last couple seasons.
I think he's going to full on kill his sister.
Without Arya being behind it.
Another thing from that interview, too, I don't want to step on your toes.
No, please.
I think they also... They also asked her about the multiple endings, because there's the rumor that they've shot several multiple endings so that it won't be spoiled about which ending will come out. And her response was she doesn't think they have the budget to do that many endings.
Really?
Yeah. But she also said that the ending, she has read it. She knows what the ending is, and it's going to be huge. But that's also kind of feels like what you would say.
Right.
But remember when Jon Snow was going to die? Remember how much nobody talked about Jon Snow coming back?
But everyone knew.
But everyone knew, and they flat out lied. So it's like, This could be a script that she's, you know, if I was an actor, I would totally freaking lie and be like, oh yeah, I filmed like 2 episodes, that's it. And then everyone's like, what? Matt's still in this?
And yeah.
I'm like, yes.
Well, one of my favorite things that's been happening on this off season is it seems like a lot of these actors are just enjoying trolling the fans. Like there was the actor plays Jamie. He said that like, we can't learn our lines, we can't read the scripts until the day of, and then they're read into our earpieces, and then we have to say everything that comes out of our earpieces.
No. Oh my gosh.
Which is a total lie.
Yeah.
And he was called on that later by, what I love is, that's what Jamie said, and then the actor who plays Davos said, that's total bullshit. Yeah. And I think it's like fitting with their characters that Jamie's lying, and Davos is like, no, not at all.
Yeah.
I need to be straightforward.
Yeah.
Not at all. Which is great.
Yeah, they must be having a good time. I mean, what are you going to do for a year and a half if you're not actively filming? And everyone's asking you questions every other day. You know, the whole boilerplate response probably gets old. And I'm sure a lot of people are having fun out there.
I'm hoping that the guy who plays Tormund and the Hound, they start a band together. Because they've been posting videos on Instagram of them singing together and having fun together because of the last couple of episodes from last season. They were hanging out a lot.
Yeah, Hodor can DJ.
Hodor can DJ.
Exactly.
That would be great. That would be fantastic. Now, when do they stop filming, by the way? Do we know?
Oh, they're still.
I know they're still doing it now because it's winter. But, like, are they going into summer? Like, are they going into spring, summer to film as well? Does that give us the foretelling of like the show's gonna like move in like past a winter period?
Oh, that's an interesting point.
Like, so it'd be interesting to see when they're, because that's the whole reason why they waited, because they're like, it's got to be real cold, y'all.
Matt Marr coming with the hard-hitting questions. You know what we can do is we can make an actual, you know, honest-to-God effort to see where they are in filming and production.
Yeah,
and
we should do
bring
that
back next month. We should do
time
that.
Travel.
That's something that Game of Thrones off-season should really do. Someone should really tell those guys to get on top of filming production schedules and
But keep in mind, one of the only things we know about the end of the whole Game of Thrones world is that the last two books are Winds of Winter, which is kind of what we've already seen, because we got to get caught up in the books for what's happening in the movies. But also the last one is Songs of Spring.
So
that might mean a sense of
a rebirth
at the end and a rebirth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't hardly think they film. I mean, maybe they do, but it doesn't seem like a lot is filmed unless it's an interior on a set, like on a studio. Yeah. It's all.
They do a lot of
location.
Like where Winterfell is, it's probably covered in snow right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is.
We should go. After Buzz pay for it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
We're going to start a Kickstarter so you can get us to Britain.
Speaking of spring and love.
Speaking of love, guys, thank you so much for the news updates. We'll be back next month with some more updates on production and whatever else is in the news that's noteworthy.
Yeah.
For our topic today. We're talking love and sex and relationships. First of all, can I just break the fourth wall and just ask you guys a little bit about how your Valentine's Day was? Did you have one?
It was awful.
Yeah. I had an amazing Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, it was really nice.
What'd you do?
I just started dating this guy that I met at Pauly Shore's 50th birthday party.
Oh my god, you just bragged about dating a guy, having a wonderful Valentine's, and meeting him at a Pauly Shore's.
You're welcome.
There's a lot of Hollywood going on.
That's all I can say. And he picked me up for dinner.
Was it at the Standard?
No, he actually asked me. The guy got my number that night. He asked me to go to dinner the very next day, and then Valentine's Day was like the next week. Right? So, like, I thought he would totally avoid it.
Right.
Like, most guys.
And he embraced it.
In LA, anyway. And he was like, on like Sunday night, he was like, send me a text, like, will you be my Valentine?
Okay, I gotta ask, which character in our show, just to bring it back home, would you compare most to your new man?
Oberyn Martell, the sexiest.
You were ready
man.
With that.
Yeah, I didn't even.
On Game of Thrones.
Oberyn Martell is good and bad. You know it. I mean, they don't call him the snake for nothing.
Ooh, mind-blowingly good.
Can I just say how perfectly matched he was with Ilaria Sands? Like, they were so perfectly matched until he got his face smashed in.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't as gorgeous. But
I'm not
I mean, I thought he was better matched with the guys he had sex with, but that is just me.
Yes. I mean, they definitely had a different relationship.
Opinion schminions.
Well, I'm glad you had a good Valentine's Day. I wrote a poem. It goes like this. Roses for beauty, clovers for luck. Netflix for me, because I'm single AF.
Oh.
That last part doesn't rhyme.
Yeah.
Why doesn't that last part rhyme?
It's poetry. It doesn't have to rhyme. That's
you're single with your Disney prince nose and like pretty hair. You're single.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
No, really. People, you could sell like your nose and people would get it. I would get that like nose joke.
I could sell a mold of my
perfect
nose.
Perfect nose. Yeah. It's a Disney prince nose.
I've never heard that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. It looks just like
Aladdin.
The beast, but when he turns into the man at the end.
Oh, wait. Where does this
Not go? The beast, but like the prince. Prince beast, whatever his name is.
Prince Adam, I think.
Right.
Is it Adam?
I think so.
Whatever.
You
it's a nice
would know
nose.
All the princes' well, names.
Hey, you know, I'm a Disney fan. You know, I like Lucasfilm. Hey, what do you know?
Why was yours terrible? Dave Child.
It was just, you know, it was what it was. It was. I think
it
I
was,
like.
It was February 14th, I think is,
it
I think
was
is what
it
was. It
was one of those days where it was just like, oh, this is nice. Everyone's posting about, like, being in love. That's great. Everyone's still posted about being in love. That was good. I actually did talk to a nice girl, and we talked for a while, so maybe, but it was kind of, it's what it was.
Did she talk back?
No, that's the weird thing. Like, I kept talking to her, but she just wouldn't talk, and she, at one point, we were, like, running down the street. It was fun. It was, like, me right behind her, just running. It was just nice to get some exercise.
We went on a little jog together.
It was a little jog. It was great.
And she was singing the whole way.
She has a very beautiful house.
Oh, love is in the air. Can you feel it? Can you feel the love? You know, you guys, I feel like you are so in tune with your relationships and your in this world. Uh-huh, let's go into the fantasy world.
Oh.
And let's play a little game called Matchmaker.
Ooh.
Matchmaker, make us a match.
Wait, we don't have the rights to that song. Don't sing it.
Yeah. I think we were just off enough that we were fine.
I don't think it's that much.
I'm going to go ahead and let's give the bachelorettes of Game of Thrones some due.
Okay.
It's normally in fantasy worlds you see that it's a girl who has a choice between multiple guys, whether it's in Twilight or in Harry Potter. It's always the girl who has like a few choices, so that's what we're going to give them. And this is based on relationships that these women have had in Game of Thrones. And we're going to go ahead and just I'm going to list them off and you guys tell me who you think is the best match, okay?
Okay.
We're starting off with Queen Sansa, queen of the North, we'll call her. And Sansa's bachelor number one, Joffrey Baratheon. Bachelor number two, Loras Tyrell. Bachelor number three, Tyrion Lannister.
Okay.
Four, Ramsay Bolton.
Boo.
And bachelor number five, Peter Baelish.
Okay, these all suck.
Okay.
But these are all relationships that Sansa found herself in throughout the seven seasons
of
Game of Thrones.
Now we know why Sansa wants to throw herself off a cliff, because she's had a sucky love life.
Yeah, yeah, it's been rough. Yeah. But out of all those, you know, who would you
Tyrion.
Match her with? You think?
I mean, not because it's necessarily what she wants, but he would be the kindest and the most true to her, I feel like.
The Tyrell guy was going to be real nice. Like, he was the older guy, right?
Loras Tyrell, but he wasn't into her, you know, he was into...
He was...
Men. You know, Renly Blunt.
He's the gay one.
So there's that problem.
So he's great. He's got a kingdom, but he's not gonna, you know, love her the way that, you know, she deserves to be loved.
I say she gets a medieval sex toy and just lets her do his hair. Or let him do her hair and makeup, and there you go.
That's nice. Okay,
I like her with Littlefinger, though.
I did, too. I was gonna say Littlefinger.
No.
Listen! You gotta go through one of those tumultuous relationships so you can learn from them
you can
move on.
Gary in Indiana is going to think that Star Wars is not good and that she should date him.
Well, then he's right, Gary in Indiana.
Listen, do you have to go through the relationship of the guy who fell in love with your mom and couldn't get over that enough to the point where he's only interested in you because you resemble your mom, but you're a younger version, and he is twice her age, no one has to go through that relationship. No one should go through that relationship.
I think dating an older man, you learn a lot, you know? Children of America, turn this off now.
He started grooming her when she was a teenager. It's literally like,
yeah,
it's
like, remember when he first kissed her and you were just like, because it's just like pedophile-y.
I will tell you, I was very entertained and I enjoyed it very much as an on-screen relationship. Do I promote it in real life? I'll leave it up to the fans. You're
very good. All right.
Out of
Loras Tyrell and Peter Baelish, it looks like Peter Baelish.
No! You can't decide that!
I just did.
Moving on. So creepy!
With the gay guy.
Why?
And by the way, if you're watching or listening, please go ahead and leave us a comment on your opinion of all these matches that we're making, and whether you ship or sink them right there on YouTube.
The closest one is Tyrion, and even that would be a loveless one because they don't really love each other.
Yeah. Right.
But that would be like, that's the only one who would treat her right.
Love grows if you water it, okay?
Sure. But not if you're a creepy old man lusting at, ugh.
Moving on to our next eligible bachelorette, Cersei Lannister. So here's the relationship she's gone. Yeah, Bronn. Here's her bachelors. We have Robert Baratheon, her ex-husband.
Oh, yeah.
Jaime Lannister.
Okay.
Brother. Lance Lannister. Yeah. Cousin. Euron Greyjoy, who's a new suitor.
Yeah.
And why not the Mountain?
So you're talking about the Mountain in his prime or Franken Mountain?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
That's a good point.
I'm just saying when he picked her up, you know, after she did the Walk of Shame and he picked her up, I was like,
Franken
Mountain.
I feel like out of all the men in the world, he's going to treat her exactly the way she wants to be treated.
You know, you're basically creating an undead sex robot with Franken Mountain, and I feel like she needs someone to be kind of very submissive to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, and who's not?
Well, but he does what she says.
Yeah, I would go with Franken Mountain.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna go with Euron Greyjoy only because I could see, like, let's say they both live. Game of Thrones ends. Then we see a spinoff. And then it's like Euron Greyjoy, Cersei Lannister, living in a trailer park in West Virginia. And, like, it's not what Cersei wanted. They're just fighting all the time, but they have really good sex. Like, this, it's like, that's a show. That's a show I would watch.
Yeah.
That would be a disturbing show.
Call it King of the Mountain. And put it on A&E.
Game of Trailers.
Yeah.
Honestly, I have to put Cersei with her twin brother, Jaime, because no one's going to love her as much as he did. I mean, they grew in the womb together. And
that can't be the only reason.
That is the only reason. Also, they kicked off the series by, like, throwing Bran out the window. I mean,
what is love but throwing a man out a window?
And all the deaths that they're responsible for couldn't happen if they weren't together. So I like them together. It was very entertaining. This isn't for them.
They look good together.
They're a beautiful couple.
They do.
She's beautiful. He's very handsome.
They are brother and sister. But, you know, there is a love there. So it's like, are you going to get over the incest? If so, then yes. If you're going to bring in the incest and that's going to be a problem, go with the undead zombie. That's all I'm saying.
Breaking zombie, yeah.
Hey, you know, you guys are... I'm learning something new here, just being with you guys. Learning something new every day.
Learning something.
So who wins since you're the supreme judge of this for some reason?
I'm going to go with the Mountain.
Yeah!
Wins with Cersei because I really enjoyed bringing them.
Less
in
creepy than
Indiana.
Peter Baelish.
Yes.
It's less creepy to be an undead giant that it is to be Littlefinger.
Mountain's like her booty call.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to fall in love, but she, you know.
He takes commands well.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
I'm starting to go somewhere. We got to move on.
And our next queen of the night is Daenerys Stormborn of House Targaryen.
I have a very strong opinion about this one.
Okay, I have a strong opinion as well.
I have a few that I think you'll enjoy talking about. Our first bachelor is... Actually, I didn't even write him down. Let's go with Viserys. Her brother.
Because you, in the very first season,
she's had so many.
He totally.
Why is that the guy?
Yo!
There's a reason you didn't write that down.
It's true, it's true. I'm just,
that's
you know.
Saying, let's talk about saying, our favorite character from the Brady Bunch, and you say Cousin Arnold. Like that?
I'm just saying he seemed to, you know, like her a little bit. Anyway, moving on to.
I would rather she sleeps with a dragon.
Yeah.
How about Khal Drogo?
Yes!
Yes, well, yeah.
My son and stars.
I mean,
it's pretty hot.
If you can forget the rape scene.
Very pretty rapey.
I was going to say.
She was young. She was in culture shock.
She was basically sold to him.
If you can forget all that, it turned into a very deep love, which gave her the name Khaleesi. She was born out of that romance.
It's true.
This is not a Me Too affirmative show.
No way.
I think it can be if you don't argue for the rapist.
You know, the only reason I enjoy Daenerys being with Khal Drogo is because I like to see him naked having simulated sex because he's so freaking gorgeous.
Yeah. Mm.
But that's kind of the only reason. So I don't really want them together. I just want to see him naked.
But like his funeral is why like her dragon's hatched.
Yeah.
No, but I don't think it's the best relationship. Let's hear more.
All right. Here's let me list the other three.
Okay.
Jorah Mormont.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dario Naharis.
Uh-huh.
And Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean.
Now hold on now. There's no obvious choice.
I think there is.
This is not obvious. What do you think the obvious choice is?
Jon Snow.
Absolutely not.
Oh, wow.
Why? Because they're cousins?
They're not even... She's like his aunt.
Yeah.
Niece. Again. I enjoy seeing Jon Snow naked, too.
It's his dad's sister, right?
But it's kind of in a prophecy. Like, it's going to... It's gonna happen.
Also, that's what Targaryens do. They even talk about the history of Targaryens, and they just
they do.
They're always.
I know that the whole world ships Jon Snow and Daenerys
because we want them both to be on the throne. That's why.
Yeah,
I don't really want Daenerys on the throne, to be honest.
What? Why?
I don't think she makes for a competent leader of the world. I'm sorry.
Because she's a woman.
Yeah.
No.
Seriously.
No.
You're not with her.
You'd rather have some blonde tyrant lording over Westeros.
It's my opinion.
Can't we have a woman win in the fictional world?
Come on!
Don't even go there.
It's
not even about that she's a woman. I just don't think she heeds the advice for counsel. I think she's too impulsive. I think she's too easily swayed.
Hysterical. She has a time of the month.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying.
She killed one guy. Maybe two.
Her chocolate, she can't make any sense.
She crucified all those guys.
No. Two guys.
I'm just saying, I don't think Daenerys is the best ruler of the world.
I think she's...
Just me.
The thing that could temper her, the thing she's not great at, would be ruling with Jon Snow.
Yes.
Mm.
So I feel like it's the combination of two. Although I'm going to say...
Fire and ice, right?
I kind of think like...
Song of Fire and Ice.
The therapist brain in me, because I am a therapist, I'm like... Ooh. For her own mental health, I really kind of want her with Dario. Like, she's got so much stuff going on. I'm like, I just want you to have sex with somebody who's fun, who makes you laugh, who's got a great butt, and just, like, there's nothing like, I almost wish she could, like, be a queen. Jon Snow's maybe married, but she just gets, I just feel like she needs somebody to lighten the mood.
Don't you think that Dario would hurt her eventually, though? Like, end up sleeping around?
No, I don't think he's that smart.
Yeah.
I think
he would.
I think he would.
Sleep around, but I don't think she would care.
I think Jorah Mormont would make for a good, like, stable, at-home husband.
I think he would help with her daddy issues, for sure. Because she's got daddy issues.
Yeah, who doesn't? You know what I mean? We all got daddy issues.
She just doesn't love him, though. There's people that she loves, and you get the sense that she loves Jon Snow now, too.
But they haven't found out. She's like, what's going to happen when she finds out, oh, my brother, you're my brother's kid?
I'm telling you, they don't. I'm from Oklahoma. Some people don't care about this.
Also,
they don't.
Like, in the history of
everyone
Game of
cared
Thrones.
When it was Cersei and Lancel, and they're even further distant in relation than Jon and
Daenerys. But they're not Targaryens.
Yeah, Targaryens are known for marrying their own.
Don't even pretend like you're the whole country's working in the Targaryen logic.
I'm just saying they
everyone's just like, whatever, they're attractive and we like them together.
Yeah, that's it.
It's incest.
Targaryens. They're Targaryens. They don't care. It's
also,
like the same.
They're strikingly beautiful.
It was very my Twitter feed blew up with pictures of Jon Snow's ass. So when that happened. So I just think there's a lot of support for this.
All right.
They're the most honorable people left in the show. Yeah, so let's put them together.
The only thing is, like, the only way for this to have, the whole show to have a good ending is to have them get married, which makes me suspicious that they won't.
Right.
It won't happen.
It feels too good.
Yeah, yeah, Jon Snow's going to find out. He's going to be like, oh, I can't do it.
Wow. Wow, you just became Scotty from Star Trek.
I don't have the power.
I don't know. All right,
moving on. I guess Jon Snow wins. Fine, you devilish matchmakers, you. Moving on. Let's go just to a couple auxiliary characters real quick. We have Queen Marjorie. Who was she best with? Who was she best with? Renly, Joffrey, or Tommen?
Tommen, because she could do what she wanted to.
You know what?
Finally.
I go with really it was. I think really Renly. Honestly, if we're calling, I recant what I said about Sansa because really, Marjorie was what we call a queer deer. Like she just wants to go see drag shows and like be around gay guys and like people say, "Oh, I love your shoes," and she's like, "Thank you." That's what all she wants.
Okay.
So Renly is like her main squeeze. She's just like...
So there'll be Will and Grace in it on the
Yes. She's like my first girlfriend, Lacey Morris. She just wants to be with a bunch of gay guys.
I love that. You won't be over.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, deal. You know what? We'll go with Renly.
Okay, cool.
They're power couple. They know what it is.
Exactly.
All right.
This next one.
And this next one is just a hard choice. We got Brienne of Tarth.
Oh.
Okay. And we got two strong bachelors, Jaime Lannister or Tormund Giantsbane.
I gotta go with Tormund. I gotta go. Maybe it's just because he's a large, hairy man and I identify with him. But the love that he has for her that he shows immediately, I think the only reason is she's kind of pushing against it is because she's not used to people looking at her that way.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, both of them. They're, like, huge. They're not the normal, like, what you would describe as beautiful or handsome. So the fact that we have these two people coming together on the show, I think that's why we all really enjoy watching it, because it's not the romance that you would anticipate a show on HBO promoting.
Right. Mm. No, I totally agree. Tormund, he just has this just puppy love, infatuation, coming from a big old man. It just seems so... It's a healthy contrast, you know?
And you feel like he would be okay with being bossed around a little bit by her?
Oh, yeah. He would like, love it.
Also,
hand her the reins.
Not to keep promoting, not to keep promoting my spinoff here, but they would be the great neighbors that live next to Cersei in the Game of Trailer.
I mean,
they would be like, the wild and crazy neighbors! I don't know.
I dig it.
It's not going to happen.
I dig it, okay.
Well, I think that's the most solid relationship there, though.
Yeah, I mean, I do will say, to be devil's advocate, she is maybe the one people that could save Jaime, that could get Jaime out of his... I think Jaime's kind of doomed. He's kind of like...
He's like a really...
Tragic figure.
Yeah, he's a brooding rock star, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Tormund.
Tormund wins. Tormund. So, let me... thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Tormund is with Brienne. Renly's with Marjorie. Jon Snow's with Daenerys. The Mountain with Cersei.
Yeah.
Peter Baelish with Sansa.
Breaking Mountain.
Can we, for a second, talk about the worst relationship on the show?
Absolutely.
In my opinion, this is Stannis and Melisandre. When they conceived, they had a demon shadow baby.
That was hot.
He cheated on his wife with her, and also he sacrificed his daughter, and Melisandre's vision never came true. So all of this for nothing.
It's a toxic relationship.
Let me ask you this. What was worse, Stannis and Melisandre, or Stannis and Selyse, his wife?
That's a good question.
Well, Selyse, it felt like more like a loveless marriage that he was only in it for the daughter. And then Melisandre's like... She was a wicked witch that made him burn his daughter alive. So I think that is worse.
And they had demon shadow babies.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I think the demon shadow babies aren't as bad as the burning the live person alive. Mm-hmm. But
if you want to focus on that.
I'm just saying.
Bring us down, Dave Child.
I'm just saying, if I found a woman and we fell in love, and every time we made love, it produced a demon shadow baby, I would say I wouldn't necessarily be a problem or red flag in the relationship. I just mean we have hopefully a lot of demon shadow babies.
Well, I mean, hopefully your Valentine's Day next year is just, you know,
full
similar.
Of demon shadow babies.
Yeah.
I love you guys. Let's do a little ship or sink for real quick. Relationships, do you ship them or do you sink the ship? Or do you just want to watch them tread water? For the bastards, we have Oberyn and Ellaria Sand.
I love them! Are you ship kidding? Them? They're beautiful. I mean, they're warriors. They're badass. She avenged his death. I mean, that is love.
I'm not even into women and she's hot. I'm into it.
What about Grey Worm and Missandei?
Yeah, I ship it.
I mean, they can never even speak to each other, but they give really intense looks. So their love language is just like staring.
Grey Worm reminds me of my boyfriend. I love him.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Oh, I hope not too much.
No, not.
Okay.
Not where it matters. He's
okay. Good.
He's not a eunuch. Not a eunuch. He's just strong and quiet. That's what I mean. I'm so glad my boyfriend doesn't watch my shows.
What about Ramsay and Miranda? I actually like their relationship.
Ramsay.
I don't want him to be in any relationship.
He's the 50th shade of gray in the whole show.
No, but he's kind of not. You haven't seen those movies, have you?
I actually haven't. No, I don't know.
That's good.
He is
amazing.
He's a psychopath.
You know what? I think.
Let me ask you this. Shay and Tywin or Shay and Tyrion? Who do you ship?
Obviously Tyrion.
Tyrion. I wanted it to be, because Tyrion was really in love with
Loved
her.
Loved her.
And it's unfortunate. I think Shay, like, tried to preserve herself. And that's why she went with Tywin.
I think it.
All right.
Bitch ain't worth it for him.
Yeah. No, I mean, the best part of that relationship was Tyrion strangling her.
Come on.
Sam and Gilly?
Yeah,
obviously.
Are they going to end up together? At this
They're
point, I'm asking, is the
together.
Ship going to ship or is it going to sink? I mean, at this point
into the
in
horizon.
The conversation, we only have a few, we have a lot of history of sex, love, and relationships with all these characters. But moving forward into this next season, we only have a handful. We have Grey Worm and Missandei. Mm-hmm. We have Jaime and Cersei, possibly Jaime and Brienne, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Brienne and Tormund. And then we have Daenerys and Jon, and that's pretty much all of the relationships left that are intact in the entire show.
It's all
true. Yeah.
So we're weeding them out, everybody. We don't have time. They're dying or lying or going.
We had a lot of tragic Cinderella stories.
We did. And I would say the ultimate relationship that really started everything off was Lyanna Stark and Rhaegar Targaryen. Thank God for them, otherwise we wouldn't have a show. But
or a snow.
But let me ask you this. At the end of the series, what do you foresee standing the test of time, will there be an ultimate love or an ultimate couple? Will there be several? Will Sam and Gilly still be together? Will Jon and Daenerys end up together? Will Brienne and Tormund end up together? What do you guys think will be the ultimate love story of this series?
I could see that actually Sam and Gilly might be the only couple standing at the end of this.
I'm going with a triple yes, because I believe in love! Yes to all of them!
Yes to all of them.
They all just get happy and in love and everyone survives.
It ends very well.
That would be so
disappointing. Lots of marriages in the final season.
Yeah, because all the weddings have all worked out.
I think Bran and Gilly are going to be the only ones to do it,
It would be like a Much Ado About Nothing ending. Just like everyone getting married.
Yeah.
Montage. Everyone just couples up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double marriages everywhere.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. I mean, seeing as how every single wedding that we've ever had in the show has ended absolutely terribly, big bloodbath.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a moment where Daenerys and Jon are going to be together and you think they could make it and then something terrible happens. That's what my guess is.
I really hope not, because I need at least one of my dreams to come true.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well,
like in life, okay?
As my dad
used to say. You met a beautiful man at a Pauly Shore party.
He's 70 years old. My father used to say, well, Matthew, you can wish in one hand or shit in the other and see what fills up first.
I love that.
So,
amen.
I think that's where we should end.
There you go.
That was
just positivity.
That was beautiful.
That doesn't sound good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sound good.
Thank you for joining us, Matt Maher. And thank you guys so much. I think that
just about wraps it up with sex, love, and relationships here. We could go on for hours, but we will be back next month. Next month, we're going to be talking about the psychology of Game of Thrones. Kristen, you're going to be bringing in a special guest?
Yes, Dr. Haig Gungeon will be joining us to talk about the psychology of Game of Thrones.
We're going
to
have a lot.
Yes, and we're going to have a doctor in studio.
Very cool.
It's going to be amazing.
And you can find us. We're going to be every last Thursday of the month. Until the new season starts. So find us here every last Thursday.
Just tell Siri to remind you on Thursday morning. Say, hey, Siri, Game of Thrones tonight,
Thursday. I tell you what, guys, go ahead and subscribe. It's real easy. Come once a month. You subscribe right now. You won't miss another show. Give us a thumbs up if you liked what you saw. We're also on iTunes. Give us a comment. Tell us who you love to love or who you love to hate in the comments below. We always love reading them. One last bit of news, I'm sure, is old news by now, but it relates to our show. Did you guys know Kit Harington and Rose Leslie, who played Ygritte, are actually engaged in real life? Happened back in September. We'll try and stay up to date with their wedding.
They're married.
That's just a beautiful couple. I love it when it works out like that.
It's like when Sansa adopted her direwolf in real life. I just love that.
Is that true?
Yeah, she adopted her direwolf. She adopted her direwolf in real life. So can you imagine Sophie Tucker's just walking down the street and there's her wolf and you're like, oh! Yeah, it really happened.
I will be watching Dave run after a woman while I'm freaking out about some wolf. It's going to happen someday. I can see into the future.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. So that about does it here, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next month. If you want to get more of a fix, we have a new show that's going to be continuing called Game of Thrones Weekly. So be sure to check that out. They're going to be doing weekly recaps of old seasons. But until next time, we'll be back with some more Game of Thrones news and topics next month right here at AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
And love.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.